Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. Thank God that we're here just another time. Blessing it is to be able to look into what James says, the perfect law of liberty. That is the word of the Lord. Just one more time, being able to get into God's word. Thank God, as the writer Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations, is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. He goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. Well, thank God we're serving a mighty God. We're serving the creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah the prophet says that he doesn't faint. He fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. It says he giveth power to the faint, that them that have no mighty increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But the writer goes on to say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart, saith the writer in the Psalm 27. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He previous verse said, I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So thank God for his word that goeth forth out of his mouth. Not going to return void. It's going to accomplish that which he pleased, and the thing that he sent it to do, is going to be accomplished. So we thank God that he said through Peter, the word of our God shall stand forever. So God is a faithful God, and we thank God that we able to be here to proclaim the word of the Lord, to declare that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So thank God for his faithfulness. And we would like to welcome all of our Blog Talk listeners. We say welcome to Truth Ministry. And also, we'd like to give you our guest call-in number. And that number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. And thank God for all of our Facebook listeners, all of our Blog Talk listeners, and also our Blog Talk friends. And also, if you're new, you may be taking a sneak listen or a sneak peek into the program. Thank God for you. Thank God that we have the vehicle that is to be able to use technology to proclaim the word of the Lord. We know that the commission, he told them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He went on to say, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, talking about the name of Jesus, they can speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. So we know that quote is out of the 16th chapter of Mark. So what I'm really wanting to say is, we know physically that everyone can't go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So thank God for the technology, the vehicle that we have of Blog Talk Radio. We're able to broadcast on the World Wide Web all over the world. We don't know where our voices are being heard. We may not know what an effect that we are having, except someone should call in and maybe say where they are from, like they do on satellite radio. Folks call in certain shows. They have a toll-free number, and they call in and say what state and what city they're from, and you know. So it's for all over the world. So thank God for that. And we thank God. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, which is a church, the Corinthian church, that the Apostle Paul established himself in various subjects and issues that he was dealing with this church from the very beginning when he wrote it. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, he dealt with some things. People were caught up in personalities. I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. And so he let them know that what's important, that Christ is not divided. And so that's the thing. You know, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And just like he said, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he went on to let them know, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, those ones that he's addressing the church, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. Notice what he said, not many wise. Apostle Paul was an exception. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things that are despised as God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we know he dealt with the purpose of the gospel and how it is to the world. It's foolishness, but under the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then, so he dealt with various things. You got to have spiritual discernment in the second chapter. In the third chapter, he fed them with meat, with milk and not with meat, because they weren't able to bear it, because they were carnal, had envy and all these things that they had. And, you know, they needed to grow up and be mature people. And then he talked about the faithfulness and judge nothing before the time till the Lord come. And various things that the apostles went through in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, and how they were suffered a lot of things, you know, and they were a spectacle unto the world and the angels and the men, and how they were food for Christ's sake. Then in the fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talked about fornication being reported among them. And he talked about people taking each other to court, and the seventh chapter about don't defraud one another. And so various things that he talked about his apostleship in the ninth chapter. The tenth chapter, he really dealt with Jesus how we were baptized under Moses and in the cloud and in the sea, so we can correlate that, like the same water that saved us destroyed our enemies when we're baptized in the name of Jesus. So he went on and talked about we don't have customs, about head covering and all that in the 11th chapter, spiritual gifts in the 12th chapter, and the 13th chapter about charity, which is love, which still is charity. God didn't use the word love, charity in the place of love, but charity is the Holy Ghost. And so then in the 14th chapter, he substantiated when he's talked about the spiritual gifts, because he ends up, first 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians in the first verse, follow after charity. What he just got through talking about. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. So we dealt with those things about spiritual gifts, and you cannot receive a spiritual gift unless you get the giver of the gift. You have to be a recipient of the Holy Ghost initially, speaking with other tongues, the gift of the Holy Ghost, like they received on the day of Pentecost, and like we showed through the scriptures when we went through the Acts of the Apostles. Every time someone received the Holy Ghost, they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them what to utter, or they spake in other languages as the Spirit gave them what to utter. And so that is how, when you receive the Holy Ghost, like Jesus had said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he went on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh. We are born of the flesh. We come out of our mother's womb. That's the question that Nicodemus has said. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? No, Jesus was talking about the new birth. And so he went on to say, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, or where it will. And he says, you can't tell which way the wind is coming and which way it's going. And so is, but you can hear the sound thereof, he says. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when you're born again, you will hear yourself speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit. And the Spirit is talking about God. The Spirit is talking about the Holy Ghost. As the Spirit gives the utterance, he gives you what to utter. So we talked about all of that, about spiritual gifts. So you want to be born again is the main thing. And what God has for you, you will receive it, because he is the giver of the gifts. What has been explained, and even our historian, Elder Fountain, had a take on this also, break this down, these spiritual gifts. So today, we ended up in the 40th verse of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And so he starts, well, I go up a little farther. Verse 38, he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. All those things that we were talking about in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, talking about those spiritual gifts, even going back to the 12th chapter, 12, 13 to 14, all linked together. That's linked in. So he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 38. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. So even had he had said himself, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So what he is talking about, and that was verse 18 in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. He is, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the point being, God has an order. And then so you can see that in some of the other religions. People don't have a problem with that, if you know what I'm talking about. And so why do they have a problem when it comes to Pentecostals or apostolicism? And the Pentecostal experience, that's the day of Pentecost, where they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them to utter. So don't worry. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak in another tongue as the Spirit gives you what to utter. You won't be arguing. If you have repented, like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and that was the message, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So notice what he goes on to say, for the promises unto you, he's talking to the Jews on that day, to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that brings us all into the picture. And that's what he said to Apostle Paul when he knocked him down on the road to Damascus. He said, I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles, and how I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. So what we got to realize, the theme of the Bible, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. So the theme of the Bible, especially the New Testament, is the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the appearing, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all goes together. So there are those that don't want people to, and there are those that are really fearful and afraid to get in the book of the Revelation. God didn't put the book of the Revelation for us to be afraid of it. It's God's word. So shows you how wicked man is. Even things that are going on even now, we in our wicked world. And the Bible, John says, we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so we can see it's because of greed. Even right now, our Congress of these United States of America could be shut down on April the 8th, which is a couple days away, if they don't come up with an agreement. And so we know, and you might as well face it, and I'm not afraid to say it, but God is going to judge these folks. These rich people, they don't care about nobody. And that's why God, they're going to curse God to his face when they realize what God has done. He's going to destroy, their riches are going to be no good. They're going to be like a canker, James says, going to be a witness against them. Because they got millions and millions and billions of dollars. They've got money to burn. They got money. They think they can buy their way to do whatever they want. And they have been doing that. But that's going to come to an end. Because you got to realize, we have to realize one of the most important lessons that the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught during his earthly ministry. And that was, he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. And folks are so greedy, and that they're serving, they're greedy with that, and that is that money, which is mammon. And so we don't want to be you shouldn't want to do that, to be greedy. That's what you call being greedy, also a filthy lucre, which is money. And so that's what people are doing, and they're turning the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ into lasciviousness. They're hustling people out of their money. That's not what Jesus died for, so folks can make money, so people can prostitute people, so folks can make music. He didn't say go sing the gospel to every creature. He said go preach it. And then when you get them in, teach them. To a pastor, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this is what we have to realize. So this Apostle Paul talks about a lot here today. This is the gospel of God's grace, and he talks about the resurrection. He talks about the change, a lot that he is talking about here, some experiences that he's had. So he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have also received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So what we got to look at and see, the Scriptures were talking about Jesus. And this is what's so important, even as we can read, they didn't have the old New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the epistles and all like what we have nowadays, but they preached Jesus out of the law, the apostles. They preached Jesus out of the prophets. The apostles preached Jesus out of the Psalms. This is what they had on record. So I can. I've been taught to prove all things. So this is what Jesus said after his resurrection. So he said unto them, Luke 24 and 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. There it is right there, just like what I just said. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel. That's part of it. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, the name of Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. So this is the charge that he's given the disciples. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Okay, now if you've been Bible scholars and Bible readers, we've always tried to let you know that Luke is the writer here, and Luke also is the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So when we go on here, verse 50 in Luke 24, and he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So we see that he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. So we go on here and we pick that up in the Acts of the Apostles. And so, just for clarification, I just do a little reading here. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, till the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was after the resurrection, that he was on the earth 40 days. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Remember, just read that in the 24th chapter. He said, don't tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They knew who he was, and they thought that that was the time. That wasn't the time for him to come back and to be the king. He is the king, and he's going to show up in his time. This is what 1 Timothy 6 and 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in him. So he said unto them, when they asked him about restoring the kingdom to Israel, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, now notice, this is still Luke saying the same thing, that he stepped on a cloud and was departed out of their sight. This is the same thing happening right here. Verse 9 in Acts 1, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, unto the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went in up into an upper room. So we see the disciples were all there, and with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So how people try to say Hail Mary, full of grace, that's all done. Mary done her job, brought forth the Christ child. Mary went up into an upper room with all of the disciples and with the women and waited there until the 50th day after the Passover, which is known as Pentecost. So she was there. So this is, like we said, the death, the burial, the resurrection, all of those things have happened. The ascension, that's happened. The Holy Ghost being poured out on the day of Pentecost, and even as Joel 2:28 says, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Remember what we talked about back there? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They shall preach. This is what he also was talking about in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We were talking about that also. So we have the death. We have the burial. We have the resurrection. We have the ascension. We have the Holy Ghost being outpoured. And so there's only two more things left. And the Holy Ghost is still being outpoured. The next thing on God's calendar is the appearing, when he's going to catch the church out of here. Then after that, then he's going to come back, the second coming, when he comes back and steps on that Mount of Olive. He's going to crack in half. And he's going to come with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming back to execute judgment. He's coming back to fight. So our God is an awesome God. So here we, as we go on in talking about the gospel here, and so he was saying that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So he goes on to say that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. This is the time that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. And so he actually believed that the coming of the Lord was near. At that time, was about A.D. 59. So anyway, he said the greater part is falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. So one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. You had to be, the job of an apostle was, their job was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scripture. They were eyewitnesses, and they died deaths of martyrdom, all except the Apostle John, who was put in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of God. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You can read that in Revelation, the first chapter. So they were the eyewitnesses, and Apostle Paul said, and then you had to see the Lord. You had to be an eyewitness. So Apostle Paul says, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by his grace, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Talking about the other apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And so people are not doing that nowadays. They're trying to take the credit. They're wonderful. They're a great leader. You've had good leadership. You know, you, I'm the one that you want to be with. This is good ground here. No, we're not magnifying. Our message should be magnifying the Lord, not ourselves. We should not be boasting in the gift that we have. Sure, you should want to be used of the Lord. And like Peter said, as every man has received the gift, even so minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified. So that's what's most important, because it's not about us, as I always say, but it's about Jesus. We want the gospel message to get out there. He didn't die for folks to be living on Sugar Hill. You can live where you want. You got the money. You can drive what you want. But he died for, he gave his life a ransom for many. This is why he came. So we could say, like others have been assassinated, be it civil rights leaders, be it presidents. No man gave, some people say that Dr. Martin Luther King gave his life. He didn't give his life. They took his life. Even before that, President Abraham Lincoln, he didn't give his life. They took his life. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which I was a little a boy, I remember when he was assassinated. I remember when King was assassinated. I just and I also when Malcolm X, I was little, I really wasn't really aware of it, but I mean he was assassinated after Kennedy. So I was 11 years old when President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. But my point is, these men, some people say they gave their life. They didn't give their life. Their lives were taken. But our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He said in St. John the 10th chapter, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He was saying, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus Christ gave his life. He is the one that came in the volume of the book. You read in the 40th Psalm and the 10th chapter of the Hebrews. Said, it's written of me to do thy will. So he came. He said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So he had to get in a human body. That's why we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus, talking about the office of sonship, that he is the Son of God. He tabernacled among men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So we know how folks want to talk about all these other people. And this is why Apostle Paul, even talking about the gospel, how important the gospel is, and this is just stabs a death lick into some of these other religions where supposedly a man wrestled with an angel and all of that. And Apostle Paul said in Galatians, the first chapter, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So I don't care if an angel did come down and whoever that was, and wrestled or embraced that angel, and they made up a religion called the Muslim religion. Apostle Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So, saying what it says. So, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. And that's the only one that counts. Doesn't matter about folks want to say, I'm this and I'm that. But the question is, do you have the testimony, what he says when he's talking about the gospel? Are you saved is the question. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which the gospel, there is not another gospel, which I preach unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12 and above 500 brethren. The subject is Christ. Jesus Christ was the one who died for our sins. And this is why Jesus made it so plain. And people just want to go in their own way. And like the Bible said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They want to go by with somebody else, the broad way, you know, the honorable, whoever they want to call them. No, the honorable Lord Jesus Christ is who you should be following, not some other man. They're going to lead you to a devil's hell, because the hell was made for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 and 41. Wasn't made for man. Death and hell going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's going to be the killing part about it, is people didn't want to believe Jesus, because it's not about nobody else. And all this other stuff started after years after the day of Pentecost. That is the church of the living God, the church which he established. Ain't no Trinity. Ain't no divine Trinity. Ain't no Trinity. God is one. He was Father in creation, Son in redemption. He's the Holy Ghost in the church, and he's more than that. He done so much as Father. He done so much as he is the creator of the ends of the earth. He's redeemed us in his sonship, the church, which is his body. He is the head of the church. The sonship is not going to be done away with until we're reading here. When that is all done, they're going to see that body which they crucified. They're going to weep and they're going to wail. When he come back, they're gonna see the scars and all and that nail print. When did you get these? It's in the book of Zechariah. He's gonna say, I was wounded in the house of my friend. So it's so important that we wanna take heed to the gospel of God. Now, the 12th verse of 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so, and that's another thing people need to understand. Ain't nobody in heaven looking down on you. That is not true. But the dead, they don't know anything. When you die, you go into a state of unconsciousness. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. You're going to be caught up to meet him. That's why he said, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. This corrupt is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal going to put on immortality. Then it's going to be brought to pass the saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. But we are haven't got there yet. But there, so if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection. Some people didn't really believe in the resurrection. But you got to realize the Bible said that Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, them that died in Jesus. He got up, we're going to get up. He's the proof. So he goes on to say, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain, also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So even Adam got back to God, because Jesus was called the first man, Adam. And we're going to see as we go on here. But every man after his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. That's his appearing, when he's going to catch the church away. So he is the first fruits. He got up. So that's the gospel. And so the proof of it, when you're born again, he has resurrected in you. He has been resurrected in our hearts. That's why the writer, Apostle Paul, when he wrote in the Ephesians church, he says, and ye have he quickened. He made you alive. Quickening means make alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's raised us up to sit together in Christ, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So we were dead in our trespasses and sin. So that's why he goes on. And the book of Ephesians says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So he's quickening us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. He made us alive, talking about our spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit, and we live in a body. So this is what he come to do. He's redeeming our soul. That's the purchased possession that he's redeeming. So he says, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, but every man after his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end. Here's what's important right here. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so that's talking about the sonship. The sonship was given for a purpose. People don't understand that. So when you read in the book of Revelation, it says there stood a lamb in the midst. They couldn't find nobody that was in heaven and earth that was worthy to take the book out of the hands of him that sat on the throne, the one that John said he saw. So Lord in the midst of the throne, talking about the lamb that stood there. So it says he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. What is that saying? Nobody else was worthy. He took the book himself. God has done this thing all by himself. So that's why. So the scripture says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father is in the bosom of the Father, for he had declared him. So people, they don't understand. This is God who tabernacled among men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So even when he said that he was the Son of God, and things that he said and conversations that he had in the book of St. John with the Jews, they knew that if you say that you are the Son of God, that you are God. So they would not accept him as being the Messiah. What a mistake they made. And that's why they're going to see those nail prints and all, and he's going to reply to them, just like I said, that he's going to tell them. When they ask him, where did you get these wounds? And he's going to reply back to them that I was wounded in the house of my friend. So another scripture to prove to you, we're talking about Jesus being God. A lot of people don't understand, and you can't understand if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You just have to believe. And so, anyway, Zechariah 12 and 10, and this is going to be a time when this is going to come to pass. Verse 10, Zechariah 12, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Remember, he was pierced in the side, that soldier pierced him. And they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Why? Because they crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't even realize what they'd done. That's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know what they were doing. They were killing the King of glory. And this is what Apostle Paul was talking about wisdom back in the second chapter, I believe, of 1 Corinthians, and he was saying, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the devil played right into the plan of God, especially when they'd done all what was prophesied for him to do, for to be done. And when they nailed him to that tree, he was made a curse. That cross was a curse, and they dropped it in the ground. They lifted him up on that tree and dropped it in that hole and fulfilled the scripture when he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So they definitely proved that God worked his will out. He put in their hearts to fulfill his will. And that soldier pierced him in the side, just like what we read there in Zechariah 12 and 10. Out came water and blood, water for our baptism and blood for the remission of sin. And the church, what was necessary for the church to be born. So, elsewhere, verse 29, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Remember the sixth chapter of Romans, we said we were planted together in the likeness of the death. We too shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that we should not henceforth serve sin. Goes on to say, for he that is dead is free from sin. God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but now we have been made free. And so, and we come up to walk in the newness of life. And so he says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If they're dead, rise not at all. That's a question. Why are they then baptized for the dead? Question. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Question. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage in me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Wake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You Corinthians, you should have known this. Talks about the resurrection of the dead back in the Old Testament. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now, know a little about agriculture, know a little bit about farming to understand this. But he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. So in other words, it's not made alive, is what he's saying. Remember when he said in the book of St. John, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. He was talking about himself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Remember what he said? Christ has become the first fruits of them that slept. So God is a God of order. He does all things in order. That's what he wants us to understand, his order. So he says, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may be chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh, kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies celestial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is also a there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, first man Adam, here it is right here, was made a quickening, the first man Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Why did he put Adam in there? Because Adam was his man. Adam was the son of God. Jesus is the son of God. Now are we the sons of God. God is a God of order. So the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. You got the analogy right there in St. John, the third chapter. You got it. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You are born in the flesh first. Then, afterwards, you've been born again. You're born of the spirit. So he gave that analogy. You don't have to go into your mother's womb. And Nicodemus totally went, didn't know what he was talking about, being born again. And even Jesus said to Nicodemus, he asked a question. Art thou a master of Israel? And you don't know these things? So, we got to be taught. We have to learn. So, howbeit that which, like I just read, that which is not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. As is the earthly, so are they also that are, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they that also are the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. So, let you know right there, we're going to be changed. This is why you got to be changed. And even we know, when you look, we can fly in these aircraft, these air buses, some call them, these big, gigantic airplanes. You can fly 35,000 feet. Most people fly 33,000, 30,000. I mean, it seems it's whatever the category there, they can, and you got certain pressure in the air, and you can't stick your head out of the window. It's the law, the pressure. You can't take that. So what I'm saying is, like the space program, people that some people don't believe that they have been to the moon. I believe God gave them wisdom to be able to do those things. But I let you in on a secret. You don't have to worry about going to the moon as some millionaires. They think they can pay their way to do anything. You're not going to have to worry about that. But if you do what God says do, and that is be born again and live for him, you'll be able to be there in the air, wherever it is. Think about it, and you're there. We're going to inherit all things. We're going to have the body that we need to be in. We're not going to have no wings. You don't need no wings. He's going to be there. He's going to show us. Throughout the ages, we're going to be looking at God's creation. And so you got to be a change. You got to go through the time change. You have to have been born again. These bodies cannot take it. So he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. But I show you a mystery. So this mystery, and the word mystery means hidden truth. I'm going to show you something. This is hid from the wise and the prudent. This is what Jesus said too. But it's revealed unto babes. So that's why Peter said we got to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. This is milk. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to stay asleep or stay dead in the graves if we should happen to fall asleep before the Lord comes. But we shall all be changed. Not everybody, but this is talking to born-again believers. This is talking to tongue-talking believers, Jesus' name believers, those who have been baptized in Jesus' name filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to, I guarantee you, you're not born again, you're not going to be translated out of here. You haven't been translated in the kingdom of his dear son. How are you going to get out of here? That's your ticket out of here. Is being born again, get receiving the earnest of your inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost. So we should not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. The who? The dead shall be raised. The dead in Christ. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, he was saying, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is all precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're not going to just get out of here anyway, anyhow, but we have to be born again to partake of this and to understand about what the Lord is saying as children and people of God. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And God bless you. We look forward to talking to you on the next time.